everyone, and welcome to J Talk Extra Time, your weekly view on J2 and J3. My name is Stuart Smith. I'm doing it solo again this week, and later on you'll hear the dulcet tones of Mike Innes when he takes you through all the latest goings on in J3 in the J3 Short Corner. But until then, it's time to have a look over another important weekend in the Japanese second tier in J2. So let's get on with it. And we'll start at the top, where the top two both failed to win this weekend. Both Jubilo Iwata and Kyoto Sanga being held to draws at home. Jubilo drew 2-2 at home to a relegation threatened Ehime FC, and it could have been much worse. They needed a late Yuto Suzuki goal, his second of the game, to salvage a 2-2 draw after Ehime had scored two quickfire goals to go 2-1 up at the Ekopa Stadium. It finished 2-2 between Jubilo and Ehime. And in Kyoto also dropped points at home as they were held to a 1-1 draw by lowly Renofa Yamaguchi. Kyoto took the lead through Takumi Miyayoshi, and it looked as if they would kind of see the game out and pick up another win on their road to promotion. But Yuki Kusano's goal, 10 minutes from the end, salvaged a point for Yamaguchi. It was kind of undeserved on the balance of play, but they're not going to complain. And a very precious point for Renofa to pick up there. So as we look at the top of the table in J2, obviously Kyoto and Jubilo are still in the top two. Jubilo top on 74 points and Kyoto in second place on 72 points. 6 points back from Kyoto are Vanfori Corfu. Pardon my pause there. I'm a little bit surprised to see Vanfori Corfu outside of their usual fifth place position, but they are in third place on the back of a 2-1 home win against Viva and Nagasaki. This victory was their seventh in their last eight games, a really excellent run of form, and they've got some very winnable games coming up. And so if any of the top two falter, Vanfori Corfu are in a pretty decent position in order to be able to capitalize on that. So just keep an eye out for Vanfori Corfu. They might still have a say in the promotion battle, which is something that I didn't think I'd be saying 3 or 4 weeks ago, but here we are. As we look down towards the bottom of the table, obviously we've just mentioned Ehime pulling out a very creditable draw at Kyoto Sanga. Ehime are now fourth from bottom. So at the bottom now, we have Sagamihara. Now, Sagamihara drew 1-1 at the weekend against fellow relegation-threatened team, Sweigen Kanazawa. It could have been so much better for Sagamihara had they've been able to hold on to their lead for the full game. Jungo Fujimoto opened the scoring in the 15th minute for Sagamihara, and they held on all the way to the 93rd minute. Kyohei Sugiura finally breaching the Sagamihara defense. That has to feel like a defeat for Sagamihara, and maybe even feels like a win for Sweigen Kanazawa, a much needed point for them. Second bottom, we have the calamitous Matsumoto Yamaga. They really are on the brink of something horrendous right now. They were beaten 2-1 at home by FC Ryukyu. Ryukyu were in a really bad run of form. Matsumoto did actually take the lead in this game just after halftime, Sho Ito putting the host in front. But goals from Takashi Kanai and Kazama Koki hitting the winner 12 minutes from the end. That was a stinker of a result for Matsumoto Yamaga. And with each passing week, the kind of seemingly unbelievable is becoming almost kind of not inevitable, but they're running out of time to salvage the remnants of their season. And yeah, imagine if they go to J3. That would be that'll be quite the story in the J League this year. Just above Matsumoto Yamago, we have Giravans Kitakyushu. Now, Giravans Kitakyushu suffered a real damaging result as they lost at Omiya Ardija by 3-1 at the NAC 5. To be honest, Giravans Kitakyushu didn't do themselves any favours at all. They had some woeful defending that was really well punished. But 2 from Atsushi Kurokawa and 1 from Kawata Atsushi as well. The Giravans Kitakyushu, in the same way that kind of Matsumoto are running out of games to get themselves out of a really poor run of form, Giravans Kitakyushu are looking pretty perilous right now. They find themselves on 31 points, 2 points away from safety. And yeah, their defending was absolutely shocking in this game. And it's not a surprise that they won. It's not a surprise that they were beaten by Omiya. Omiya, they look pretty good, but they're still only 4 points above the relegation zone. It's still something that they need to keep an eye on there. Elsewhere, Tsuspa Kazata Gunma looked on course to snag a very precious point away at Montedio Yamagata, but Taiki Kato scored for Montedio in the 90th minute to condemn Gunma to another defeat. Elsewhere, Tochigi gained a valuable point away from home against Machida Zelvia. Mito Hollyhock and Fagiano Okayama played out a 1-1 draw. Reo Matsuzaki scoring the equaliser for Mito in additional time after Hideki Ishige had opened the scoring for Okayama. And what other games have we got? Yeah, so elsewhere, there was a bit of a goal fest at Ajinomoto Stadium, where Jeff United Chiba handed out a complete battering to Tokyo Verdy. Tokyo Verdy looking incredibly listless right now. Very, very poor performance overall. And yeah, Chiba looking pretty decent, but I mean, it's all for nothing. No one really cares about where they're going to finish right now. I think Jeff are in ninth place. Verdy are in the... Verdy have conceded 60 goals this year. That is the most in the league. And yeah, they need to hit the reset button over the winter. They need to get a good manager in, and they need to get someone who can kind of marshal the troops. And finally, Blaublitz Akita recorded a very impressive away win at the Big Swan against Albrecht Niigata. The winner coming for them in additional time in the 94th minute, an own goal, a very bizarre own goal as well. Not really sure how or what the defender was really planning to do as he deflected the ball into the net. That came after Kaito Taniguchi scored from the halfway line. A fantastic strike from Taniguchi, who's had an excellent season since moving up from Rawaso Kumamoto last winter. He's, I think that was his 12th goal of the year. A really excellent return for Taniguchi, who is proving that he's more than capable of playing at this level. It wouldn't surprise me to see some other teams looking at him during the winter, assuming Albrecht Niigata don't somehow crash the promotion party, which I don't think they will. Speaking of which, let's look at the table. So we've already looked at the top. So Jubilo top on 74, Kyoto second on 72. Remember, only the top two go up this year. There's no playoffs. Vanfori Corfu in third on 66. Viva and Nagasaki in fourth on 62. The rest are much of a muchness until we get down to the relegation battle. Four teams get relegated this year, don't forget. SC Sagamihara prop up the table on 30 points. Matsumoto Yamaga and Giravans Kitakyushu sit on 31 points. And Ehime are in the bottom four, courtesy of a worse goal difference than Tsuegan Kanazawa, but both those teams are on 33 points. Above them, we have Gunma and Renofu Yamaguchi, who are on 34 points. Omiya on 37, and Tochigi on 38 points. So as we look forward to this weekend coming up, Halloween, I don't know if you're into that kind of thing, but we have some scary looking matchups for some of the teams down the bottom of the table especially. So Ehime, fresh off their well-earned point at Jubilo, host Kyoto Sanga at the Ninjinia Stadium. Their nightmare run of games continue. There's a huge match in Kitakyushu where Giravans are hosting Sagami Hara. Gunma are hosting Matsumoto Yamaga. That's another horrific game for Matsumoto to navigate. Elsewhere, Tsuegin Kanazawa travel to Blaublitz Akita. That'll be a very tough game. No one gets it easy at Akita. Omiya Ardija are hosting Jubilo Iwata in kind of what was not so long ago a decent J1 game, but now Jubilo are looking for points to secure promotion. Omiya are looking for points to secure their J2 status, which is still a little bit unclear. And Vanfori Corfu, they make the trip to the capital to face Tokyo Verdy. They must be confident of making it 8 wins from 9. Okay, that should bring you up to date with all the goings on in J2. All that's left for me is to thank the patrons for helping support this podcast, and thank you to all the listeners who help make this podcast what it is. It's nothing without your interaction and your feedback and your support. Thank you so much for that. All that remains for me to do now is to hand over the mic to Mike Innes, and he's going to take you through J3 in his short corner. Thank you for listening. And stay tuned for Mike. J-Talk
Extra Time. Hello everyone, and welcome to J-Talk Short Corner, the mini pod that keeps you up to date with events in J3 of the J-League. I'm your host, Mike Innes, and in this episode I'll be looking back on the weekend games in Round 24 and previewing fixtures coming up in Round 25 of the J3 season. Straight into the action this week, and there were two Round 24 games on Saturday the 23rd of October. Promotion chasing Iwate Gurugia Morioka twice went ahead, but twice were pegged back for a 2-2 draw at Fujieda Mai FC. Despite the loss through injury of key midfielder Jun Suzuki in only the 7th minute, the home side created the early half chances, most notably when Yuki Oshitani's close-range effort was blocked by Taishi Brandon Nozawa. But Iwate took the lead in first half injury time, Kazuki Arinaga doing well to hold off two defenders and allowing the ball to reach rookie Toi Kagami, who hammered it into the roof of the net. Fujieda's first equaliser came in the 57th minute when Suzuki's replacement, Takumi Kiyomoto, latched onto a long clearance that caught Shogo Sasaki and Yusuke Muta off guard. Kiyomoto raced into the area and finished confidently past Nozawa for his first goal of the season. Exploiting an undermanned home defence, Iwate regained the lead only 6 minutes later, when Megumu Nishida fed substitute Masashi Wada to score his first goal since arriving on loan from Sagami Hara. Nishida had a chance to make it 3-1 shortly afterwards, but Takuya Sugimoto got down well to make the save, and with 15 minutes left, Fujieda drew level again, Masahiko Sugita's clever feint throwing both Arinaga and Shunji Masuda off the scent as he switched from left foot to right and sent a beautiful low shot inside the post from 20 yards. Both sides chasing a winning goal, Brenner hit the bar with a header for Iwate, and in injury time, first Mai FC's Ryota Iwabuchi blazed over from 10 yards, and then Brenner set up Wada for a one-on-one that was blocked by Sugimoto. An away draw, perhaps, on reflection, not a bad result for Gurugia, still very much in contention and with 4 of their remaining 6 matches to be played at home, including against Kumamoto and Toyama. Fujieda, under the stewardship of Daisuke Sudo, are vastly more competitive and can't yet be ruled out for a top half finish. In the other Saturday fixture, Kagoshima United recorded a comfortable 3-1 win at home to Azoclaro Numazu. Kagoshima, without either Hiroki Akiyama or the suspended Rei Yonezawa, began for the first time with Raise Shimazu on loan from Kanazawa, and in the 10th minute he opened the scoring, slotting home a loose ball after an overlapping run and cross by Mikiya Eto. Shunsuke Yamamoto added two more either side of half-time, first reacting quickly to prod in the rebound after Ryusuke Otomo parried a Wesley Rodriguez header, then bossing Numazu defenders Tatsuya Anzai and Koki Inoue to head in. Three goals now in the four games rookie Yamamoto has started up front for Kagoshima. Numazu's experienced midfielder Kazuki Somea had a penalty saved by Shogo Onishi midway through the second half, but the visitors did get a late consolation through substitute Ryoma Kita's first ever pro goal. Even so, it's now 6 losses in 7 for Numazu, a first win in 4 for inconsistent Kagoshima. Then on Sunday the 24th, Roasso Kumamoto had the chance to go 5 points clear at the top of the table, but Takeshi Oki's men were held to a 0-0 home draw by lowly Kamatamari Sanuki. Both sides did have opportunities to win it, for Kumamoto Naohiro Sugiyama's electrifying run ended with a shot just wide of the post, and in the closing seconds Yuhi Takemoto and Hayato Asakawa brought a superb double save out of Tagiya Takahashi, while for Sanuki, Ikki Kawasaki lashed a volley against the bar, and Shunta Nakamura had a one-on-one bravely blocked by Yuya Sato. But neither side could find a way through. Not surprising for Kamatamari, as they've now scored in only one of their last 8 games, while Roasso's run of 7 straight wins comes to an end. Not that either of their nearest challengers, Tegevajaro Miyazaki and Katare Toyama, were able to take advantage, as Miyazaki went down 2-1 at Fukushima United and Toyama suffered a 4-2 defeat at bottom-placed FC Imabari. The half-time score at Imabari was 1-1, the home side going ahead just after the half-hour when Takafumi Yamada's brilliant through pass was converted by teenage striker Taisei Takase, Katare drawing level within a couple of minutes as Issei Tone headed home Hiroya Sueki's in-swinging corner. The game turned on 6 extraordinary minutes early in the second half, during which time supposed strugglers Imabari scored 3 times. First, Yamada rolled the ball across the edge of the area to meet an incoming run by left-back Takuro Uehara, whose angled shot gave Yohei Nishibe no chance. Then Yamada himself got on the score sheet, curling a sweet shot past Nishibe with the outside of his right foot after a surging run by Takatora Kondo. By the 59th minute, it was 4-1, Takuya Shimamura setting up Keishi Kasumi, whose shot from the edge of the area took a decisive deflection off the unfortunate Tome. Nobuhiro Ishizaki's promotion hopefuls weren't able to get on the score sheet again until injury time. Substitutes Teppei Usui and Yohei Ono combining for Ono to head in. But this was a reminder that while Imabari haven't had things go their way this season, they've only suffered 1 heavy loss, 4-1 at Fukushima, and as with their 3-0 defeat of Gifu, when things go their way, they can achieve good results. Under former academy head Kazuaki Hashikawa, busy introducing new players to the starting lineup, Imabari may be ones to watch over the last few weeks of the season. Toyama have been well beaten by also-rans before. They lost 4-0 to Nagano in June, and this game underlined that while Ishizaki may have built a team that can win promotion from J3, they would likely need significant improvements, especially in the area of mobility in defence, to prepare for any J2 campaign. As for Miyazaki, Their game at the J Village Stadium against Fukushima was a high-tempo, incident-packed affair. Kosuke Fujioka should have put Tege Bajano ahead in the 17th minute, but had shots from inside the goal area blocked by Kaito Yamamoto and Kosuke Tanaka. They then had a goal disallowed for a marginal offside decision against Ryo Watanabe. At the other end, keeper Shunsuke Ueda tipped a rising 40-yard volley by Shoma Kamata over the bar. The opening goal came 5 minutes into the second half when Tokachi received the ball, advanced towards goal and then let fly with a stunning shot from 25 yards that beat Ueda and went in off the underside of the bar. Pushing for the equaliser, Kaito Umeda's header hit the post and bounced across the face of goal, and from the subsequent corner kick, Miyazaki captain Kenji Dai fired home the loose ball from 10 yards. The game was decided in Fukushima's favour by a penalty award with 8 minutes remaining when Riku Hashimoto's shot struck the arm of Miyazaki centre-back Ryuya Ohata as he retreated into the box. Hashimoto converted the spot kick to give Fukushima their first win in six and push them back up into the top four, while Miyazaki stay second despite their seven-game unbeaten stretch coming to an end. Elsewhere on Sunday, an all-action second half at Naganakawa led to a final score of FC Gifu 3, AC Nagano Parseiro 2. The visitors went one up just before the break when Naoki Sanda's seemingly straightforward shot somehow got the better of Gifu keeper Takuya Matsumoto, but after the break, the hosts were level inside a minute, Kanazawa loanee Ryo Kubota scoring his first in a green shirt from close range after good work by Wataru Hashimoto. Then in the 49th minute, Gifu took the lead, the Nagano backline unable to deal with the high press as Yosuke Kashiwagi stole possession 25 yards out and fed Shunpei Fukahori to steer the ball around Kengo Tanaka and in. Within 90 seconds, though, Parseiro pulled level through Ryoji Fujimori, who picked up Yuzuru Yoshimura's deflected cross and from 10 yards curled a perfect finish inside the far post. Gifu's winner came 17 minutes from time, a poacher's goal from top scorer Shota Kawanishi squeezing through a crowded goal area and past Tanaka. The victory puts Gifu 7 points off the promotion places with 6 games to play. Nagano remain ninth and are without a win in 8. By way of contrast, form side YSCC Yokohama continued their recent good results with a 2-1 home win over Vanradi Hachinohe. Yuki Stauff's side went ahead in the 32nd minute when Yuma Funabashi's cross to the near post was turned in by Charles Unduka. Only 5 minutes later, Funabashi was himself on the score sheet, firing in from 10 yards after Yumemi Kanda's setup. Somewhat out of nowhere, Hachinohe pulled one back in first half stoppage time when rookie Kazuya Niwa got to the byline and hit in a cross that Taichi Nakamura cleverly headed back across goalkeeper Ryosuke Sagawa and inside the post. Vanrare almost pulled level in the 61st minute through Keita Takami's long-range effort, which beat Sagawa, hit the bar and bounced away, but YSCC held out and now are unbeaten in 7 to sit comfortably in mid-table. 1 win in 10 for Hachinohe, who continue their slide down the table. They're now in 11th. The team with a bye in round 24 were Gainare Tottori. So now to run through the top and bottom of the current league standings. The top three are unchanged despite the fact that none of them won this week. Kumamoto remain first with 46 points from 22 games. Then it's Miyazaki with 43 from 23, Toyama with 41 from 22, and moving back up to fourth are Fukushima with 40 from 23. At the other end of the table, in 12th spot with 21 points from 23 games are Numazu. Then climbing off the bottom are Imabari with 19 from 22, Sanuki have 18 from 23 and Tottori 17 from 22. Just time now to take a quick look ahead to the matches coming up in round 25. Most teams have only 6 more games to play this season, so the battle for the 2 promotion spots is now full on. There are 2 games on Saturday the 30th of October, both involving teams going for promotion. Third placed Toyama are at home to inform mid-tablers YSCC. And in a Tohoku derby, it's 5th against 4th, Iwate against Fukushima. Then on Sunday the 31st, leaders Kumamoto have a Kyushu derby at Kagoshima. Second place Miyazaki are at home to the new entertainers from Fujieda. There's a Shikoku derby at the foot of the table, Sanuki against Imabari. Gifu make the trip to Numazu, and bottom side Tottori go to Nagano. The team with a bye in round 25 are Hachinohe. With all the week's business seen to then, that's it for this mini-pod. All that remains is for me to say, thanks for listening, enjoy your football, and see you next time. Bye for now.